Hello. Hello.
Hello. It didn't sound like it was working. I couldn't hear your voice, so I hung up and called back in.
Oh, okay. I believe we are on Blog Talk Radio right now.
But you didn't get the initial recording.
I'm
Is
not
that what
sure.
happened?
I think so. Hang on, I'm gonna go there real quick.
But it would have
See if
announced
you...
that we were on.
Maybe.
Technical difficulties, people. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, what is our topic for today? It looks like we're on air, it says.
On air. Is air a plant that we can discuss?
I'm not sure.
That's some interesting feedback. Not good.
Okay, so we are on air. We just wasted 3 minutes. So, our topic for today is what herbs repair DNA?
I believe you told me. I'm so tired. I could probably use some of that herb to repair my mental DNA.
If you only had a brain.
If I only had a brain. Yes, folks, I have a hollow head.
Last week we talked about raspberry and blackberry because we were talking about tayberry, and
Tayberry, yep.
tayberry wasn't in the book, but tayberry is a cross between blackberry and raspberry. So I was reading, and we were talking about blackberries and raspberries. And when I was reading about the raspberries, that was, if I can find it again here real quick, raspberries, page 78. Something within the raspberry plant also helped to repair DNA. Okay, here we go. DNA. Ellagic acid also unspools bacterial DNA. Oh, wait, maybe that's what it was. Hang on a second. I thought there was something else where it said repairs DNA. Okay, never mind. I guess raspberries kill the DNA of certain
Bacteria.
bad bacteria that grow in the body. Therefore, the bacteria cannot reproduce.
Right.
So, okay. That's where I got confused. So I guess raspberries don't repair DNA, but they do a lot of other wonderful things. The three plants in Marcus Rothgren's book that repair DNA. Let me go back to this section here. Well, the first one was cat's claw, I believe.
Isn't that in the mint family? Or is that cat? Cat's claw, that's a different plant altogether. I'm sorry, folks.
Yeah, okay. Cat's claw, watercress, and this other word that I cannot pronounce.
Ouch.
So I like to focus on the one I can't pronounce. It's called, I think it's called Jioguilin.
Why don't you spell it very slowly?
Well, let me let this YouTuber describe it.
Hi, Ralph here. You know, I'm often asked what are the health benefits of Jioguilin, also known as Gynostemma. And because I'm a science geek, I like to talk about things like superoxide dismutase and nitric oxide and AMPK. But I got an email from a customer the other day saying, you know, hey, Ralph, can you put that in plain English? So I'm going to try to do that for you today. The first benefit that most people talk about with Jioguilin is improving their blood pressure, and with improved blood pressure, feeling more energy. Jioguilin increases production of nitric oxide, and nitric oxide expands your blood vessels, meaning you get more blood flow and more oxygen to every cell of the body. And with that greater oxygen, you feel more energy. Jioguilin's also been shown to increase production of an enzyme called AMPK, which is one of your body's central metabolic controllers. And with improved metabolism, you feel more energy. You may also find that you like how you look in the mirror better, because AMPK, as a central metabolic controller, increases metabolism, which means you burn more energy and reduce fat. For the many people who struggle to manage blood sugar, you may find that you also have to spend less time counting every grain of sugar that you consume. There was a 2010 study where they gave diabetics Jioguilin tea 3 times a day and for 12 weeks, and they compared them to a group of people who just drank green tea 3 times a day. The people who drank Jioguilin had 5 times better improvement in their blood sugar levels. They had a 9 times better improvement in their insulin levels, and their insulin sensitivity improved, versus the people who drank green tea who found that their insulin sensitivity actually got a little bit worse. Many people also report that they enjoy their love life more with Jioguilin. Jioguilin does improve blood flow to all parts of the body, and it's been used in Chinese medicine for hundreds of years to improve libido for both men and women. People also report feeling fewer aches and pains. Nitric oxide and superoxide dismutase are both powerful anti-inflammatories, and Jioguilin improves production of both of those. People also find that they improve their memory, their cognition, and their sleep. Studies show that Jioguilin improves all three of those, and the mechanism is believed to be improved blood flow to the brain. You may also find that you suffer less from cold and flu season. Jioguilin improves production of superoxide dismutase and nitric oxide, both of which are antioxidants, and improved antioxidant production means that you're less vulnerable to colds and flus. And finally, you may find that you spend less money, because all of the things we've been talking about sometimes cause us to buy medications, and anytime we can spend money on a great-tasting tea instead of giving money to the big pharmaceuticals is a good thing. I hope that was informative and interesting. If you would like me to answer any other questions in future videos, please just send me an email or leave a comment below this video. And
okay. I like the last
Jioguilin.
Part. Pharmaceuticals.
Jioguilin.
Jioguilin.
Grow it?
Jioguilin tea. It's like a super food or super drink.
Can we grow it?
Yes, it grows in zone 8.
Okay. So we could get away with growing it here.
Yeah, in our greenhouse.
Yeah, but
or in the summer.
It wouldn't take much to make it survive.
Correct. Yeah, because we're like, what, zone 7?
Zone 7B.
Right.
We're in the upper half of zone 7.
But that's with global warming. If global warming's over like we think it is, then we're going to be zone 6 for too long again.
Yeah.
But again, in a greenhouse, bada boom, bada bing. Inside your house, people, you know, who have houses, they can grow it indoors.
House? What's that?
I don't really know. Oh. I'm just kidding. I'm actually in a house right now. So anyway, according to Marcus Rockcrans, you want to read it or you want me to?
I'm in the dark.
Again.
Always.
This is becoming an epidemic.
Yeah, well, you know, the sun sets.
You ain't got a flashlight?
Oh.
I'll read it. Okay. Bear in mind, I'm not that great of a reader, so bear with me. Maybe this will make me a better reader. I only read, like, reference materials like this. I don't read novels and other malarkey. Okay. Chinese immortality herb used by Chinese to extend their lives to 100 years or more, regarded as like ginseng, but better. The benefits are dazzling, as is the amount of scientific research behind it. Has more sterols.
Mm.
I almost want to say steroids. Has more sterols than maca and less fermentable carbohydrates. Maca has 5 sterols, while jiaogulan has around 90. Right?
Yep.
Used to treat everything from high blood pressure to bronchitis. This high-powered antioxidant has clinically shown to obstruct the growth of cancer and increase natural killer cells to fight tumors. A key adaptogen, meaning it adapts. If the body needs rest, jiaogulan promotes rest. If the body needs to be energized, the herb does that as well. It adapts to your body's needs and helps protect it from stress, toxins, bad diet, that's what we all need right there, excessive exercise or hard work, electric devices, there we go, that's for the hippies, free radicals, DNA damage, and etc. 300 athletes were tested with jiaogulan and all reported increased energy, calmness, and alertness. So that'll go along with the ginkgo biloba and the guta cola for alertness. Very effective in improving sleep. So people who have sleeping problems, there you go. Has 4 times more saponones than 4 times more saponones and 7 times more sterols than ginseng. including beta cytosterols, which block DHT formations. DHT, okay. I forgot what that does. DHT is bad, I believe. Oh, DHT causes hair loss. And I think DHT also interferes with testosterone production. That's what it was.
I could grow more hair?
Yeah, it'll help you grow hair.
Help you grow more hair now.
Because, like, when I was in Oklahoma working in the oil field, they're always talking about, it was like there was an epidemic of testosterone problems in Oklahoma because every other commercial was about testosterone replacement and buy this pill or get this shot for low testosterone, blah, 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 DHT. That's where I heard it. Okay. So I was like, dang, don't drink the water down here.
It must have been highly alkaline.
Perhaps. I don't know what the problem was, but it was like a, I don't know, like when I was in Oklahoma, that's all I heard on the radio was testosterone. Of course, it was, I was in an oil field and everybody wants to be more manly. Whatever. Macho man. Okay,
well, let me
so anyway.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So it blocks DHT formations, which stops hair loss, reduces prostate inflammation better than saw palmetto. That's cool. And lowers cholesterol. Sterols dilute blood vessels. Wait, sterols dilate blood vessels to lower blood pressure, bringing both high and low pressures back to normal. Lowers LDL while raising HDL. Thus helping prevent atherosclerosis, strokes, and heart attacks. Actually makes heart more effective, raising output without raising the heart rate or blood pressure. Perfect for athletes. Helps shield liver against toxic chemicals. Proven to help treat hepatitis. Said to be very effective at healing bronchitis, soothing the nervous system, supports the adrenal gland. There you go, for people who have polycystic ovaries disease. which produces the body's own anti-inflammatory steroids. And helps regulate the immune system, making it good for treating autoimmune disorders. Jaglon increases levels of SOD, whatever that is, and elevates white blood cell count. Even helps with weight loss and inhibiting the body's tendency to store sugars as fat. Yeah, like cinnamon helps to regulate sugar in the body. This will too.
It sounds like javelin would be a good base to put with any of your healing tinctures. You want to work on the lungs? Jogulin and mullein. You want to work on the eyes? Jogulin and eyebright. You want to work on the adrenals? I don't know what herb you'd put with it, but, you know, get the appropriate adrenal herb and put it with jogulin.
Oh, yeah. This is another thing I saw, too, while looking on the internet. It is a vine. So it grows on a vine in the cucumber and gourd family.
Right.
But it has no fruit. Leaves are surrounded in groups of five, sometimes three or seven, tiny greenish flowers. That's it for the book.
So we would grow this in our greenhouse, and it would be the thing that climbs up whatever netting we hang from the inside of the greenhouse. And it'd provide the shade all summer long inside the greenhouse. And when it got cool, it'd probably suffer frostbite and drop some leaves, allowing more light in. As long as we keep the base plant at the bottom going, it should be fine.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's just it, too. If you're in Zone 8 or pretty close to it, you can grow it on a, say, a hoop house, and it will provide shade for you as well. And then you just pick the leaves and eat them. I don't know how they taste. If you can eat them raw and they taste good or whatever, you can eat it raw, obviously, but I'm not sure how well it tastes. But the guy said it makes a great tea. So if it makes a good tea, it probably tastes pretty good.
Well, in the cucumber family, most of the cucumber family's leaves are good for adding to your salads and such. So, you know, squash leaves are good in stew. You don't have to wait for the squash to come to fruition. You can cut some of the leaves off and dice them up and throw them in your stew.
There you go.
So you could do the same with this, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I have to get some and experiment. Put in people's salads and see what they think.
Other uses include treatments for poor appetite, cough, chronic bronchitis, ongoing stomach pain, pain and swelling or inflammation, ulcers, constipation, stress, gallstones, obesity, so I get, you know, yeah, weight loss, cancer, diabetes, trouble sleeping, insomnia, backaches, and other pain. That's from this website that I'm looking at. Oh, real quick, let's. We got 5 minutes. I'm gonna see what WebMD has to say. Our arch nemesis, this is.
You must avoid this herb at all costs.
Well, they say possibly effective for high cholesterol, diabetes, liver damage or disease, obesity.
There you go.
They give explanations for those. Now, the rest of them, they don't give any explanation for. Backaches, bronchitis, cancer, of course, they're not going to explain that one. Constipation, gallstones, improving heart function, improving memory, pain, regulating blood pressure, stomach disorders, trouble sleeping, ulcers, and other conditions. Under high cholesterol, says there is some evidence of taking jogulon can decrease total cholesterol and increase the good high density HLD total cholesterol ratio in people with high cholesterol levels. That's what WebMD has to say.
Oh, man.
For diabetes, they say early research shows that drinking Jogalon tea twice a day for 4 weeks reduces fasting blood sugar levels and improves how sensitive the body is to the effects of insulin in people with diabetes. WebMD also says for liver damage, early research shows that taking Jogalon by mouth 3 times a day for 4 months does not improve liver function.
At what level?
Huh?
At what level? How many milligrams?
It doesn't say. But, you know, let's see if there's any side effects. Because what I like to do is I typically use WebMD to see if it counterbalances or counteracts any of the pharmaceuticals. oh, wait, not
90 seconds.
Interactions. We got 90 seconds. Okay, there are some pharmaceuticals that if you're taking, you probably don't want to use Jogalon, or maybe get off the pharmaceuticals. By increasing the immune system, Jogalon might decrease the effectiveness of these medications. Increasing the immune system might decrease the effectiveness of these medications. Some medications that decrease the immune system increase include these chemicals, blah, blah, blah. So why would you want to take a pharmaceutical that decreases your immune system? I don't get it. But anyway, we have 30 seconds remaining. So to hear the rest of the story, go to freefoodandmedicine.org. And when we get done and I get around to it, I will upload the rest of the podcast there, and you can listen to the rest of the story on the other side. So, why would you want to decrease your immune system?
I don't know. I got a reason. When you receive transplants, they often suppress your immune response because no matter how close the match is, your body tends to reject the new body part.
Okay, that I can understand.
So if you want to lower the chances of the new body part being rejected when it's first put in, you suppress the immune system. So.
Okay, I can accept that.
Yep. So you get a liver transplant because you destroyed your liver. You don't want your body, you know, tearing out the new liver.
All right. So basically, if there's a substantial reason to take these pharmaceuticals that will suppress your immune system for short-term reasons, like transplants or transfusions, by all means, doctors do have a purpose, I believe, things like that, and pharmaceuticals, things like that, I can see where that would be beneficial. However, once you're past that, yes, by all means, get away from those and start taking things like Jogalon so that you can bring that immune system back once your body accepts this transplant or transfusion, and you're trying to get back on your feet and healed so you can get out of the hospital. Once you get out of the hospital, first thing you want to do is get on this T so you can get your immune system back up and repair whatever this new transplant or transfusion is trying to repair.
Right? Yep.
Yep. So let's see. That's dialogue.
It might be better to, like, you know, if it is a liver that's damaged, you know, get a hold of some seven taste berries and start building yourself a new liver from what little liver you got left. Because, you know.
Well, that's true, too. If you, you know, seven taste berry would be the alternative to going to the doctor and getting the transplant.
I tell you what,
you know, and I'm sure
if I was in line for a transplant, I'd be, you know, you only got about 3 days if you eat a poisoned mushroom. But, you know, on those 3 days, I'd be eating as much Shishandra berry as I could. I'd be making tea out of it. I'd be putting it on my food. I'd be grinding it up in powder and drinking it down. You know.
Well, yeah, because supposedly the Shishandra berry or seven taste berry will repair your liver faster than the mushroom will destroy it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's. You know, I'd stay on the list for the transplant as a backup, but you know, you show up and somebody else could use that liver, you know, let them have it if you don't need it.
But be careful, because they might want your liver.
His liver grows back fast. Let's take half of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They might say, oh, yeah, you need this transplant. And then they go in and take half of your liver out.
Slap it in some few other people.
Yeah. That'd be funny if they put it in somebody else and it grows.
Well, the liver is one of your organs that does grow back. You know, if you give half a liver, you can grow the other half back. But you have to be healthy.
That's true.
You have to be healthy.
So, I mean, and we're talking extremes here, you know, if you're taking, if you eat a mushroom that will kill your liver in 3 days and you take Shishandra berry over the course of the 3 days and it heals it in two or less, or even three. That's an extreme. If you're killing your liver with, like, alcohol, for example, or pharmaceuticals or other drugs that don't kill your liver as fast as this mushroom does, imagine what the Shishandra berry will do for you.
Yeah, it'd probably let you get away with doing the brain damage, you know, because your liver would be fine.
Right.
You'd still be burning out those brain cells one at a time. So,
right. Know.
In that case, go get yourself some niacin and fix your brain so that the, you know, addiction goes away. Just saying.
Right. Feed your brain.
Feed your brain.
Feed your brain. Yeah. And get some Jagalan tea because that'll help with your brain and your liver.
Yeah, I want some. I want to grow that.
I know. I went to the Hong Kong supermarket to see if I can get some, and they didn't have any. So I'm going to have to order it online.
That's
these
fine.
People, here's a picture of somebody who balled it up, and it almost looks like marijuana. You know, dried it out and balled it up.
Who were you talking to? This is off subject, but somebody was selling peyote buds at Walmart. It's a little cactus with fuzz balls on it, and they had cactus after cactus after cactus in little pots for sale, and people were buying them as decorative little cactus, you know, because, you know, they got the succulents and stuff like that there, and there's this peyote buttons, and nobody knew they were peyote buttons. They just saw a little cactus. Walmart was selling them. They bought them from a local, you know, cactus preparing place, and I'm willing to bet that the guy who was dividing them and selling them probably didn't know.
Probably not.
So who knows what you can find at Walmart if you look long enough.
So Jiaogulan is spelled Jiaogulan.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, Jiaogulan. Jiaogulan is sometimes referred to as the southern ginseng. So it grows in southern China. Southern central China.
And it sounds like it's more effective than ginseng in many respects.
Oh, yeah. Up to 90 times better, I believe, is what the book says.
Well, heck with ginseng. Let's grow this.
Right?
Yeah, we can have our friends over for a sample tea. They'd be like, whoa, where'd you get this? We grow it. We'll sell
Weight
it to you
loss.
By the pound. Yeah, we'll sell it to you by the pound.
Yeah.
Oh, we could give out free samples in Stockton and watch the tater hogs shrink in size.
There you go. We'll make Stockton hot again.
Was it ever?
Well, I don't know. It's good for energy. It's good for the immunity. It's good for the digestion. It's good for heart health. It's good for the mood. Good for sleeping, weight loss. It's good for the skin. Anti-aging, respiratory conditions, diabetes, blood sugar, anti-cancer. Yeah. Of course, anything healthy for you is an anti-cancer, for that matter.
Well, yes. Cancer is a nutritional issue. And, you know, I know most people are scared of cancer, the big C. But from everything I've seen, if you can figure out what nutrients are important to the organ that has cancer, and you provide those nutrients, it gets rid of the cancer almost instantly.
Right.
You know. Even in the cases where cancer is caused by poisoning, it's what nutrients do you need for the body to process and remove that toxin? And you figure that out, and I bet you can make the cancer go away.
Pretty much.
I know some of the simpler ones. Thyroid cancer. I will bet you 99.9% of the time thyroid cancer is a lack of iodine. And what do? They give you radioactive iodine in order to burn out your thyroid to get rid of the cancer. And all they had to do is give you regular iodine, and the thyroid would have sucked it up just as fast as that radioactive stuff and would have made the hormones that you need, and it would have repaired itself, and the cancer would have been gone. But instead, they give you radioactive iodine to get rid of the thyroid.
Yep.
Which, that particular example makes me feel sick to my stomach, because I knew this really smart, intelligent little girl. I think she was 10, 11, or 12 years of age. And the last thing they did to her is they gave her radioactive iodine to burn out her thyroid. She died of pneumonia 2 months later. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they killed her.
Right.
Because, you know, she had all that dead tissue floating around her body, you know, so the body couldn't handle it, and it got sick, and she had pneumonia and died.
Jagalon seeds look like peas.
All right. I have a complaint. If Jagalon doesn't have fruits, then why does it have flowers, and where are the seeds coming from if there's no fruit?
Well, it's a fruit, but it's not a fruit. It's just a seed.
Yeah, it's not big enough for you to eat. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But you know what? If you're growing the stuff, you probably could eat the seeds. Because, you know, pumpkin seeds are good for you. Watermelon seeds can be toasted and eaten. I bet you know, cucumber seeds can be toasted and eaten. I bet you these could be toasted and eaten. Granted, you probably want to collect them every year so that if you're in zone 7 like we are and the plant dies back, you can plant a brand new one every year.
Right.
So, I wonder, which plant is it most closely related to? Is it closer to a squash or a cucumber or a gourd? Which one will we have to avoid growing so they don't cross?
That's funny. In Wikipedia, they call it the poor man's ginseng.
It sounds to me like the superior ginseng.
Yeah. Some people call it a gospel herb.
A gospel
miracle
herb?
Grass. Gospel miracle herb. Miracle grass.
Miracle grass. Okay. Yeah, we could sell it. Yeah, if it looks like marijuana buds when you're preparing it, we could sell it as miracle grass. When they come to bust us for selling marijuana without a license, it's like, show me the plant.
Right. And there you go. Miracle grass. And they're like, ooh, we want some of that.
Yeah.
And then they try to smoke it. I wonder what would happen if you smoked it.
We could mix it with mullein and find out.
Or just smoke it straight and find out.
Yeah, I think smoking is such a way.
I agree, but I still wonder what would happen.
Well, okay, we'll have to turn it loose on some of our smoking friends. And say, hey, we have this new herb we'd like you to try out. Watch it get them high. They have visions. Like, whoa, okay, maybe we shouldn't do that. And now they're going to put laws against it.
Right.
All right, let's not let our friends smoke it, just in case. Keep it safe.
Right. It's probably not going to do anything to you, but It helps people quit smoking.
Yeah, but is that by smoking it or by drinking it?
Yeah, not smoking, probably.
Yeah, by drinking it.
But I Googled smoking the herb. And apparently it's not a popular thing.
Try putting quotes around smoking Guigulin.
But when I did that, WebMD came up. And it said basically it helps people quit smoking.
Right.
That's funny.
Try it on Bing. See if Bing gives better results on the search. All right, sold me.
I know. I was sold, too, when I first started learning about it. I was listening to YouTubes last week while tree trimming. And I was like, I got to get some of that. So I went to the Hong Kong store. They didn't have any. So I bought my first jackfruit. And I bought some tamarind drink instead.
Right. We need tamarind seeds so we can make our own tamarind drink.
We can get that at
Mexican restaurants.
Mexican restaurants.
Actually, I think I got some already.
Yeah, but it might have been radiated.
That's true. But, you know, hey.
But we can get seeds on Amazon, I'm sure.
Yep.
Jagalon seeds. Oh, let me Google bulk. And not Google, but BULK. All right, I guess they don't have any bulk options. Oh, wait, here we go. 1,000 Jagalon seeds, $12.75.
Okay. I'll start growing it next spring. I'll start growing it in the middle of winter and get shoots going. We'll fill the whole field with nothing but Jagalon.
That'd be freaking awesome. And our goats. Imagine what it would do for our goats.
Oh, my God. They'd be frisky little devils.
Yep. Horny, too, probably. They'll give us more goat production. You know, that might be a solution too, you know, increasing your herd, feed your animals Jagalon.
Yep.
And it'll probably help them live longer and healthier too, I'm sure. So yeah, we'll have to order some of those. I'm definitely going to order the herb and I'll more than likely order the seeds, too, so we can grow it ourselves. I'm trying to do some extra research here to find out the zonage. Because when I Googled it, Wikipedia came up and said Zone 8. Here it is. Okay, Jagalon is a vine, hardy, to USDA Zone 8, in which it may grow as a short-lived perennial plant. It can be grown as an annual in most temperature climates. In well-drained soil with full sun. It does not grow well in cold climates with temperatures below freezing. So, yeah, basically, as long as it does not get below freezing, you're good. So you can grow it indoors, you can grow it in a greenhouse, or grow it in the south. Zone 8. Ish. Okay. So, how much time do we have? 10 minutes. Well, the other two herbs is watercress and cat's claw.
Cat's claw, yeah, that's cat's the one claw. With the two hooks at the base of every leaf.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's...
It's got a yellow flower.
I'm not sure what it is good for, other than Rothkrantz saying it repairs genes.
It's good for PMS.
Well, I need that.
Right. Cat's claw, a rainforest wonder plant. With all kinds of uses, it contains an alkaloid that helps white blood cells eat bad stuff. It helps repair DNA, cleanses the intestinal tract, and heals all kinds of intestinal and digestive diseases such as ulcers, Crohn's disease, diverticulitis, whatever, okay, diverticulitis, diverticulitis, anyways. So it helps prevent things such as leaky bowel syndrome and colitis. It improves circulation by lowering blood pressure, rich in antioxidants, polyphenols, and several plant steroids like beta-cytosterols, effective for cardiovascular heart health and hormone imbalances like prostate swelling and PMS. It's also good for rheumatism, cancer, allergies, candida, genital herpes, herpes zoster, HIV, bladder infections, and improves, no wait, oh, and environmental poisoning. A great all-purpose herb to have around. So, it will help heal you from chemtrails.
There you go.
Potentially. So, we'll talk more about cat's claw and watercress next week.
Watercress, you got to watch and see where it's growing. If it's downstream of somebody's septic line, you want to avoid it because it absorbs the toxins and the yeah, you got to watch where it's growing.
Oh, okay. So we want to grow watercress in our ponds. so that it absorbs the poisons from our GMO Roundup neighbor, but we won't want to eat it.
Right. Yeah, actually, we should grow it in our stream that comes off of our neighbor's land, but not eat it. Compost it.
There you go. Compost it. Put that nutrients back into the soil. And then eat the plants that you grow off of that. And maybe grow the watercress in our rainwater collection barrels where we raise our fish for our hydroponics.
There you go.
That's what it's called, right? Hydroponics?
Yeah. Says it grows zone 8 through 12, cat's claw.
8 through 12. So just barely.
Whereas the watercress does grow in our area. We've seen, well, it grows in Ozark County, which I believe is also zone 7B, but I'm not sure.
Okay. So we could potentially do the watercress, but we got to grow, well, the edible stuff that we want to eat, we want to grow in our hydroponics, and the other, the stuff we want to compost, we grow in our creeks and ponds.
Right. It's an evergreen in zones 9 and above, but it'll grow in zone 8. So we can artificially push that up.
True that.
Hey, there's a guy in southwest Missouri that's growing lemons and orange trees and grapefruit. It's all in greenhouses, but he's growing them.
Right.
So, fresh Missouri oranges.
Watercress looks like wintercress.
Yes. Tastes like it, too.
Oh, but it's got white flowers and not yellow flowers.
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, it's less bitter. I can actually eat it.
Okay.
Yep. Grows. I think it needs soil, but it grows in the water, whereas wintercress grows in the field.
Interesting. Well, the article on that's way too long, and we're out of time. So, yeah, we'll talk about watercress and cat's claw next week at freefoodandmedicine.org. And if you want Marcus Rothkranz's book, Free Food and Medicine, the Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide, go to freefoodandmedicine.com or go to freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me the small commission that I get off of it. And that'll help us support our podcast. And
so if I order the video through that website, would you get a small commission off that too?
Yep, yep.
All right. Next time I'm rich, I'll do that.
You're rich. Free food.
No, I need the video.
Not net.
Yeah, I'll probably be doing that as soon as I got a little bit of money, because I need the video also.
I think I already have the video, and I thought I gave you a copy of it. But nonetheless, the videos, there's more than one. Oh, no, there's only one. The Free Food and Medicine video is $60.
Oh, ouch. Well, I want it.
It's not that bad. It's twice as much as the book. And it comes with a recipe book as well. How to make stuff out of the wild edibles that you may pick.
There you go.
So it's, that's a good deal.
It's on my shopping list.
Oh, and here's another interesting thing real quick. For $300, you can get the Ultimate Health Reference. on thumb drive. 74 ebooks. So basically, you pretty much get all of his stuff on ebooks, or all the stuff on a thumb drive for $300. And for about $500 or $600, you can get everything, the ebooks as well as videos, cookbook, the uncookbook, because they don't cook anything. If they do cook it, it's under 110 degrees. Basically, those include basically everything except for the YouTube collection set. I'm not sure what the YouTube collection set is. But they do have a buttload of YouTubes as well. And you can watch those for free.
Yep.
All right, well, that's it for today. We'll see you or hear from you or talk to you next week at freefoodandmedicine.org and or freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com, which takes you to blogtalkradio.com/freefoodandmedicine. All right, good night.
Good night, all.